Kennedy's Chicago visit in early November was canceled at the last minute, allegedly when the plot was uncovered. In Tampa, the visit went ahead as scheduled, but there was no motorcade. Kennedy moved about the city by helicopter, providing almost no opportunity for an assassin. Dallas, according to the authors, was the last chance to get to Kennedy before the planned coup. But why would the mafia kill Kennedy just before he was about to remove Castro and open Cuba back up to them? Waldron and Hartman argue that Cuba by 1963 was small potatoes to the mafia, that they were firmly ensconced in the Bahamas and Las Vegas by then. But if that's true, why were they helping the CIA overthrow Castro? The theory that the mafia killed Kennedy must also explain Lee Harvey Oswald in a different light. While adherents to a CIA plot see Oswald with an intelligence connection, Waldron and Hartman see him as a tool of organized crime and his movements manipulated by members of the underworld. Those who think the CIA was behind Kennedy's murder, and those who think the mafia was the driving force, point to the same two men, David Ferry and Guy Bannister, as the manipulators of Oswald. The former claim Ferry and Bannister were working for the CIA. The latter insists they were working for Carlos Marcello and the mafia. Of course, it's possible they were doing both. Then there is Jack Ruby, the man who silenced Oswald. Was he a mobster? He certainly appeared to be one. Ruby owned nightclubs, a polite way of saying strip clubs. These types of establishments were often owned by mafia figures, given to mafia captains as rewards and sometimes as cover for other activities. If Ruby had another role for the mob in Dallas, it likely was as its public relations director. Ruby made it his business to get close to media figures and members of the Dallas Police Department. In that way, he was plugged into everything that was happening in Dallas. The Warren Commission found no connections between Ruby and organized crime. It concluded that the act of killing Oswald was a completely spur-of-the-moment decision. Ruby himself made contradictory statements about why he killed Oswald. At one point, he suggested that the Warren Commission was correct. He had driven downtown on that Sunday morning to the Western Union office to wire some money to one of his strippers. He said as he was driving away, he noticed a throng of people gathered outside the police headquarters basement, waiting for Oswald to be transferred. "If I hadn't made an illegal turn and seen the crowd, I would have just driven on home and none of this would have happened," he said. But Ruby parked his car, leaving his dog in the vehicle, and slipped into the police department basement. He was standing with the reporters when Oswald was led to a waiting armored car. In what is an iconic moment in the history of live television, Ruby lunged forward and fired a single shot into Oswald's stomach. Was it by chance, or had Ruby been assigned to kill Oswald? Those who back the official view point out Ruby would not have left his dog in his car if he believed he was going to be arrested. They also point out that wiring the money at Western Union so close to the time of Oswald's scheduled transfer risked him missing it. Still, the fact that a man with mob fingerprints, as well as close connections to the Dallas police, killed the suspect is very hard for many people to overlook. And the television coverage of the event itself is very revealing. Watch a YouTube clip of the murder, preferably one with no commentary, just the sounds of the garage, and you will notice something very interesting. When Oswald and the officers escorting him appear in the entryway from the basement to the garage, you hear the sound of an automobile horn. A few seconds later, there is another short blast of the horn. It is at that precise moment that Ruby lunges forward and shoots Oswald. It could be a coincidence, and perhaps there were several blasts of the horn that occurred before those that were captured on film. All of that is possible. But the cameras also captured another intriguing instant. As Oswald is being led past the line of news reporters, a CBS News camera is filming the scene with Ruby in a fedora standing just to the right of the camera. As Oswald pulls just about even with Ruby, he looks over and appears to lock eyes with the man who is just about to shoot him. The scene lends some credibility to claims that Oswald and Ruby knew one another and had been seen together on occasion. Matthew Smith, in his book JFK, The Second Plot, claims Thomas Killam, who allegedly knew Ruby, told acquaintances that Ruby and Oswald knew each other. He reportedly told his brother, "I am a dead man, but I am through running." Killam died of a slashed throat in March 1964. Then there are Ruby's telephone records. A number of researchers, including Michael Kurtz, have reported that in the 30 days before the assassination of the president, Ruby talked with a number of people associated with organized crime, including Robert Barney Baker, an associate of Jimmy Hoffa's, Nofia J. Pecora, who worked for Carlos Marcello, Louis McWillie, who had ties with Santos Trafficante and Meyer Lansky, and Dusty Miller, who had ties with Hoffa. Ruby later suggested on camera that powerful people had put him in the position he was in. When Chief Justice Earl Warren and another commissioner traveled to Dallas to interview Ruby, he begged them to take him back with them to Washington because he couldn't tell them the truth in Dallas. Incredibly, Warren told Ruby he was sorry that could not be done. Though sentenced to death for the murder of Lee Harvey Oswald, Ruby appealed and won a new trial. Before it could be held, however, Ruby was discovered to have cancer and died a month later on January 3, 1967.